Okay, well, let's pray and ask the Lord. Heavenly Father, we pray and thank you for every opportunity we can have to study your word and to be able to understand a bit more about life and about the decisions we make. We pray, dear Father, that you will bless this time and guide us. But more than that, help us to be able to apply these lessons into our life. And I pray, dear Father, that you will grant us wisdom. Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now we're coming to penultimate lesson for YAG. So next week will be the last one. It's been a year of learning many lessons. We started in August last year from the book of Ecclesiastes. Now we are coming to the end of chapter 8. My question to you all is, are you applying the lessons? And I think these lessons, especially the last few about time and judgment, is so crucial. Partly because the decisions that you make now is going to affect your future. And time will tell. Time will tell whether it's a good decision or it's a bad decision. And I think this principle of time and judgment is something that for you all at this stage in your life, that you really want to consider very carefully the decisions that you make. Major decisions, work, future partner, marriage, and so on. Things you buy, whether should I buy a car, should I buy a HDB flat, should I buy a condo, should I buy a house? I mean, if you really can afford it, your parents can help you with that. But if you can't, then you really got to think through how you are making decisions, whether these decisions are wise, because it's going to affect you in the future. Right? During the week, we read a newspaper about Prince Andrew. Right? And the decisions he made as a young person. And these decisions that he made as a young person has come back to haunt him in a very, very horrible way. So now, his big brother has stripped him of all his titles. No longer Prince Andrew. Right? Why? Because of a decision he made when he was younger. And a very bad decision that he made. Right? And of course, he chose his friends. And one of his friends was Jeffrey Epstein. And because of that, you know, today, this week, well, he denies it. We don't know what's ultimately, but you know, a lot of victims have come up and said that this was what happened, and so time and judgment. Right? I think it's a very pertinent principle that we all should learn. Because time will tell the decisions you make, whether it is in private or public. The decisions will come out. And that's one thing I've learned is that sometimes the things that we think that we can get away with, it will somehow come out in the past. And sometimes that's a very, very scary thing. Sometimes it doesn't, sometimes it does. Again, time and judgment. Time and judgment. You know, you discern time, you discern judgment. You discern what you do in your time now. The way you think, the way you decide, the way you want to go about doing things. Sometimes we can be very focused on our ideas of things. Actually, 1 Corinthians 2 is also very interesting because it talks about the wisdom of the age. You know the verse? I mean, 1 Corinthians, if you are studying it, it's called the wisdom of the age. All of you are studying it, right? Okay, maybe for some of you who are not, you turn to 1 Corinthians 2. And I thought it was a very interesting thing that I've not seen it, I've not studied it in a deeper way, and then when I was preparing for this Bible study Sunday school, I say, wow, actually one of the reasons why sometimes people cannot see the wisdom of God is because of the wisdom of this age. You know, in verse 6, chapter 2. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age. Right? But then later on he talks about, but we speak the wisdom of God in the mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages. In other words, the wisdom of God transcends generations, transcends the ages. This is the AI generation. Right? This is the generation that one of the things that will suffer is that they will stop thinking. That's one of the concerns. After a while, people are using AI, they stop thinking. So that's the wisdom of this age. My time is 5C. That's the wisdom of the age. Your generation is? What's the focus? Sustainability. Right? Save the earth. What else? What are you all concerned about? Making your life count. Purpose. A bit more purpose in life. Right? It's not about self. But still a selfish generation. Right? It's also a perverse generation. No matter which generation, it's still a perverse generation. But you see, that's the wisdom of this age. And why people cannot go beyond the wisdom of this age is because it's the way they think. It's the way they are brought up. It's the way they are so influenced by that they cannot see beyond a certain level. But the wisdom of God transcends time. It transcends all the ages. It's been there from the very beginning, before the age. It continues to be today applicable. Can you see the contrast? When I saw that, I said, wow, why is it that people cannot see? It's because of the wisdom of this age. It's the rulers of this age. Right? Trump, Xi, and whoever else, Australian Prime Minister, everybody. The way they think, the way they see it. So today is about tariffs. Wow. One word controls the whole world now. And our friend, Mr. Trump, he holds the Trump card. Right? He rules the world with... And it really tells you how in time to come, the Antichrist might just rule. Economy. One of the beasts that will come off is the beast from the sea. And sea represents economy. The ocean, the sea, one of the beasts that will come is from the sea. And he will rule the world. He will have control over the seaports and everything else. Economy is one of the things that the world will be ruled by. Tariffs, right? It just shows to you how one man can have a tremendous power. One man. Named Trump. Right? All of a sudden, everybody bows to him. Can you imagine? The Antichrist in time to come, how he will rule the world. So that's the wisdom of this age. And time and judgment, we have to transcend these things. We have to transcend the way the world looks at things today. If you are going to be sucked into the wisdom of this world, the secular wisdom, the wisdom of this age, you'll find that you are going to be blinded by the wisdom of this age. And the challenge is time and judgment. You have a time, you have... Time is now. Your time is now. In many ways, you are now starting to work. This is... I wouldn't even say that this is your prime. This is just the beginning. Prime will come maybe late 30s, when you have a bit more understanding about the world, about life. We have experienced a bit more wisdom. To me as a pastor, I'm reaching a point where I realize, it took me so many years, 30 years of ministry to really understand how things work. Okay? I'm not saying that my prime is always Pastor Charlie, no matter what the age will always be. it's like wine, the older it is, the more better it is. So I think of a pastor, if you really understand what it means to be a pastor, as you grow older, you become better. You understand things. So for me, I really understand a bit more than I was when I was 27, when I was ordained, when I was 30 years old. Right? It's been 50 and 30, since I ordained. I was ordained in 2000. Right? So it's been 25 years. Wow. Now I really understand how many. Right? But it's still, there's so much more to understand. And I find that every time it's just the beginning. Because that's the wisdom of God. That's where you find wisdom from the Word of God. Constantly you're learning new things, you're seeing things in a different way. If you're going to be fixed by the way you look at things, I can tell you, you're going to end up with wrong decisions. You're going to end up with limited ideas. You're going to end up with, okay, that's how the world is. And I can tell you, when I was your age, I thought I knew everything. Now I look back, 25 years, I say, actually, I didn't know very much then. So I'm telling you from my mistake. I'm really sharing with you that this principle of time and judgment is a very, very important principle. Okay, let's go back to Ecclesiastes. And let's take a look at this idea of, again, time and judgment. And this idea keeps coming up towards the end of Ecclesiastes 8. You find that he has first few chapters, he moaned and groaned, and he keeps telling all kinds of things. And of course, he was still moaned and groaned from time to time. That's his nature, right? But then we come to this part where I think it's very, very poignant. When he says in verse 10, okay, so time and judgment, verse 5, a wise man's heart discerns both time and judgment. Verse 6, because for every matter there's time and judgment. How true? Every matter there's time and judgment. Everything in life, you make, you choose, time will pass. Every matter there's time and judgment, right? Though the misery of man increases greatly. And then we come to verse 10. Then, of course, this issue of death again. Right? Then I saw the wicked buried, who had come and gone from the place of holiness, and they were forgotten in the city where they had so done. This also is vanity. Okay. So now we are talking about a very sobering reality. The sobering reality is that death will come. Wicked, righteous, death will come. Inevitable, everybody will face this one day. It can be soon, it can be, distant future, it doesn't matter. Death is no respecter of anyone. It will all come. Okay? All, including the wicked, will die one day. And they will die and they will be buried. Now, it's very interesting. It says, they had come and gone from the place of holiness. What does that mean? They had come and gone from the place of holiness. And there are two ways we can read this. Okay, you tell me what you think it is. That they had come and gone from the place of holiness. What do you think would be the best way to interpret this verse, a place of holiness? What do you think? Place of holiness? A place where it's holy? Or a standing of holiness? It can be either one or the other, right? What do you think? Okay, those who think it's a place where this fellow went to worship. Or is a place of standing of holiness. That he used to be holy. It is possible to see it that way. Okay? But in other words, what he's trying to bring across here is that he used to be holy. He used to fear God. That's the point. Right? So this person, there was a time when the wicked may have been worshipping the Lord. So along the way, he had grown up in a family where their parents were fearing the Lord. So he used to walk righteously. Right? But along the way, they chose to follow wicked. So they turned from righteousness to wickedness. They have forgotten, and so in the end, they were forgotten in the city. Again, the idea of time and chance, time and judgment. Right? You make a choice, along the way, okay, I mean, this is something that perhaps we all can identify with. Many of us grew up in church. We are part of church. We worship the Lord. You know, our parents may be God-fearers. We may be God-fearing. But then along the way, judgment comes. Wisdom of the age. You make a choice. You choose. You know what? I choose to be a scammer. I choose to... Recently in a newspaper, there was this... First time I see in the newspaper, a whole list of all the photographs of the people who are, you know, wanted. Right? I think that's the first time you see that. I think about, what, 20 of them? All Singaporeans. I mean, to me, if I were their parents, their relatives or friends, I would be, wow, this is horrible. Right? So many of them, about 20 of them. Any of your friends? I hope not. Right? But so, I mean, that's the first time you see it. Twice it happened during, I mean, I read newspaper every day. Twice you see it. Right? These people could have, you know, along the way, maybe some of them were previously going to church. But then you choose. You choose your own way. You choose wickedness. And the funny thing is that at the end of it, no one will remember you. So in other words, when you die as a forgotten person. You die with nobody remembers you. You die a death that is futile. Futility. It's a wasted life. Can you see? I don't know. You know, if I were, I mean, for Prince Andrew, he's gonna, when he dies, he's gonna die from a prince. Nothing. Right? So he has to move out of his, you know, palace that he has. So he has to, they will make some arrangement for him, they will give him an allowance still, but he has to move out from his royal so-called. It was given to him. Time and choice. Time and judgment. See, again, it's so important for us to understand this because you are at a stage where you are going to make a lot of choices. You got to make those choices wisely. Because if you make a wrong choice, it's going to come back and haunt you. And sometimes that choice is going to come back and haunt you with a vengeance. Like in the place of, Mr. Andrew. No, call him Prince. Call him Mr. Andrew. Right? What's his surname? We don't know his name. Prince. We only know Prince Charles. What's his surname? Huh? Windsor, is that? Oh, that's his surname. Windsor is his surname. Yeah, our friend from Hong Kong should know about it. Right? But that's something that we find. Then the wicked died, buried, totally forgotten. A futile life. Death of the wicked. Okay? Keep that in mind. Now we go on to the next part. Because the sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. Therefore, the heart of the sons of man is fully set in them to do evil. Now, one of the things that we see also in life is that evil is something that you have to deal with straight away. Okay? That's why our government is very, very... It comes down very hard on certain things. Like, for example, they realize that this K-pop thing is getting really out of hand. So they come down very hard. There was a period. So that's how Singapore government is all these years. There was a period of time where they had kidnapping. Okay? So you notice Singapore don't have kidnapping now. Very, very rare. In fact, it doesn't happen. You know why? So there was one period of time they had kidnapping. Prince, so Andrew Road, last time there was a kidnapping. Sorry, Andrew Road. So Andrew Road, there was a kidnapping. Nice house. And they killed the people that. So there was a period of time where they had 1970s, lots of kidnapping. Death penalty. The moment you kidnap, the moment you hold a gun, you don't even shoot it. You hold a gun, death penalty. no more kidnapping, no more gun. That was very, very wise. Right? If not, today it would be like America. Everybody shooting each other. No. See, so you have to deal with it straight away. If you don't deal with it straight away, what happens? Evil will propagate. Evil is going to spread. Evil will become worse. Can you see that? So they delay. So here we see the idea of procrastination. Right? They delay. Delay carrying out the sentence. And when you delay in carrying out a sentence, what happens is that along the way, people are going to think within their own heart, it's okay. It's okay to carry on. It's okay to do evil. Right? The effectiveness of the deterrent factor is no longer there. So others may continue to do the same thing. Right, so the latest thing in our government is, right, vaping, K-pop, right, drugs related to the K-pop. They come down very hard. So recently, they came out in the newspaper, one of the things you repeated offender, caning. Caning. If you are someone who's selling, caning. Right, because it's a drug-related thing. We don't deal with it. Okay, of course, there's this case about this poor girl, Megan. Right? You read the whole thing. It does feel so sad that a little girl has to go through all that she suffered. At the hands of her own mother, and of course, this man that was finally killed her. And it's just so sad. I really feel for the grandma. I mean, at the end of the day, the government came out, the social family and whatever, right? That ministry, and he came out and apologized. I mean, of course, at the end of the day, I thought that was a good move. That there were things that could have been done. But things were not done. Things could have been prevented. Things were not prevented. And the government recognized that. I thought that was a good thing that they recognized. That there was a delay in dealing with this. Of course, it's also very unfair to say that because this is actually quite common now, apparently. Someone was telling me that in kindergarten sometimes you see bruises here, and you go and ask the parents. The parents took the cup and threw at the child until there's a bruise. Yeah, I mean, it's quite a common thing today, right? And it's scary. It's really scary how parents treat children. Sure, I mean, was I caned when I was young? Yeah, three strikes. Yeah, right. That was a good thing. But I mean, it's something that we have to balance and see very carefully. But because there was a delay, the evil continued until death came. Okay? So now, well, it's also very important that you deal with, when a child is naughty, when a child does something that especially evil, you gotta deal with it straight away. You cannot allow the child to just carry on. Because that's human. Don't deal with it, evil will just carry on. Okay, let's stop for a while. What do you think? Anything that you want to ask? It goes also with sin. That's the nature of sin. You don't deal with it, it's just going to continue. It becomes worse and worse and worse. Right? So evil works must be dealt. Okay, now in verse 12, it says, though a sinner, now we come to the point of why is it that people do these things? And the reason behind this is people who do not fear the Lord. Verse 12, though a sinner does evil 100 times and his days are prolonged. Now, there are two categories. One, those who can get away with it for a while. It seems like they are getting away with it. Okay? So they are sinners, he does evil 100 times, his days are prolonged. So they may get away with evil for a while. It seems like his days are prolonged. And some will get away with evil for a while, but eventually they will be dealt with. Okay? And then in verse 13, but it will not be well with them. But it will not be well with the wicked, nor will he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, right? Because he does not fear before God. Now, of course, there are also those who do not fear the Lord, who do evil, their life will be shortened, right? They will not prolong their days. They will die one day. They will be judged for their sins. Their days are but a shadow. It will not be well with the wicked. And whatever it is, whichever way it goes, ultimately, it will not be well with them. Can you see? Okay. What do you think? Do you have any questions you want to ask about this idea of the evil that is there? And the wickedness. A place of holiness to a place of wickedness. That can happen to any one of us, right? Okay, what do you think? Weihan? What do you think?
Got a few things to say. First one is your original question of a place of holiness.
Yeah.
My view is that I think it can be both, standing yeah. and place. But sure. It seems to suggest that there's a locational aspect because of the city which he had departed from. So he came and gone from this place of holiness,
yep.
and then he's forgotten in that sure. same place and city. Mm. First comment. Second thing, this idea of... actually, I don't really get the last few verses.
Yeah.
It seems to be that there's a distinction between someone who fears God and someone who doesn't. Someone who fears God, his days are prolonged, yet he's described as a sinner who does evil 100 times. So,
yeah.
Are we to understand this sinner who sins 100 times as someone who genuinely fears God, but he, because we are sinful, falls short? And then the second category is someone who's wicked and does not fear God, and his days are not prolonged. Is that a right way to look at it? Or what is the right categorization?
So, when we look at the idea, though a sinner does evil 100 times, his days are prolonged. So here we see the idea that, let's read the whole thing together, lah. Yet I surely know that it will be well with those who fear God, who fear before Him. But it will not be well with the wicked. Okay, let's read. Because the sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Though a sinner does evil 100 times and his days are prolonged, yet I will surely know it will be well with those who fear the Lord, who fear before Him. So what you're suggesting is that this person is a believer, a sinner.
I'm trying to understand. But there's one way of reading it. Because
sure.
there's one who, I mean, the split is just a man who fears God and has his days prolonged, and a man who's described as wicked, whose days are not prolonged, as a shadow, and he does not fear God. So
yeah,
it seems
then
to be that.
The wicked days can also be prolonged, isn't it?
Yes, that's right.
So it falls under that. It can also fall under that category, isn't it? So the sinner here, I would choose to fall under the category of one who does not fear the Lord. That he sins 100 times, and he continues, and it goes together with the earlier part,
yep.
where if you don't deal with the sin, right, fully set in them to do evil, he continues. You see the idea?
Yeah.
So though the sinner, if you continue from the previous one, where he is set to do evil, if you don't deal with it, the heart of the sons of men is fully set in doing evil, though a sinner does evil 100 times and his days are prolonged. if you follow from that idea that he continues to do sin, even though he does it 100 times.
Yes.
You follow?
Yes.
So I rather look at this, the idea. Now, we're not trying to discuss views here, okay? What I'm trying to do is to tell you exactly how I, you know, when we looked at this, I cleared this with Pastor, and this is how we see it.
Yeah.
Okay? I don't want to end up thinking that YEG is a depending on your view. No, I think it's very clear how, where we want to go with this. Okay? Okay? Are we clear?
Yeah.
Right?
So,
what's the next one?
So, if I take away this part of, yet I surely know that it will be well with those who fear God, who fear before Him. If I take away this sentence, and then I just continue reading from your idea, which I agree with, this idea of evil not being dealt with.
Yep.
And then this guy continues sinning 100 times, his days are prolonged.
Yep.
I'm just
but
trying
see,
to,
the contrast is that if you fear the Lord, you will not sin 100 times. You will really, truly, really try not to sin. You will not continue in sin. That's my point. Right? If you fear the Lord, then you continue sinning and you keep sinning 100, 200, 300 times. The point is, you keep sinning all the time. Will it be well with you? Of course not. It's not going to be well with you.
Yeah.
That's the point. Yet, right? The one who fears the Lord, right?
Yeah.
It will be well with him. How can it be well with you if you continue in sinning?
Yeah.
No, it's not going to be well with you. So you see the contrast? That's how I phrase it.
Okay.
So I see the category of those who fear the Lord and those who don't fear. And one category is your days are prolonged, which is the paradox.
Yeah.
Right? We discuss days prolonged, days shortened. Doesn't matter. So in the end of the day, it doesn't matter. It will not be well. It will not be well. That's the point. Whichever way it goes. Yeah. That's how I see it.
Okay. Yeah.
Right? So the point is, so my category is whether it's well or not. Maybe that would be a better way of looking at it.
Then the of course, well fears God, right?
Huh?
So it's those who are. Those
yeah, this
fear,
one is not well, those who don't fear God. Then, of course, the next category is fearing God.
And will be well.
Yes, and then it will be well. And then it also falls under the same thing. Days prolong and days don't prolong. Then there's also the paradox of life, right? There are some who perish in their righteousness. Isn't it? Those who are persecuted early in life, James, in the book of Acts, 30 years old, most of them are 30, early 30s, right? And then they die at a young, in righteousness. Isn't it? So some will die. That's the paradox of life. Can you see? Okay, you answered all your questions. I think it's good to refine. Now, coming back to the place of holiness, who had come and gone from the place of holiness, they were forgotten. Actually, there's no point arguing. It can be both. It doesn't matter also, right? I mean, if you are a man of standing, you would have gone to a place of holiness. So we don't need to argue about this one. Because, you know, the issue is, it means the same thing, isn't it? So there's no point to try to argue about this. Although my inclination is that it's more a standing of holiness. Right. Okay. Any other questions you want to ask about? Yeah.
How do they go from a standing of holiness to evil?
That's a very good question.
And how can we make sure that we don't end up like that?
Fear the Lord. Fear the Lord. Point is, you see, when people, so the way I look at it is that this person did not develop or work or cultivated his fear of the Lord. He may have some faith in God. Maybe he was brought up family. Maybe this were Jews or they were Hebrews. They were people who went to worship God, but he didn't develop or understood this idea of fearing God. He may exercise some faith. He may have prayed to God. God may have answered his prayer. But then along the way, you see, that's the nature of evil. That's the nature of the heart. Okay? By default, your heart is really desperately wicked. It's just that y'all don't see it. Sometimes it's very scary what you can say, what you can do, what you can end up doing. The perversity that's in our heart, sometimes we don't realize it. And sometimes it's a very scary thing. The heart, by default, is actually a perverse, wicked. You see, that is by default really, and it could be for money. Now you are in a position of power, you take advantage, right? You take advantage of the poor. You are in a position of, you are scheming. You understand how to take money from you take advantage of your position, right? So here is Prince. Prince Andrew, he took advantage of his position. And he had to pay a very, very high price. And I tell you, one of the things I've learned through the years is that sometimes it's good to be a bit scared of God. Sometimes we think that, oh, God loves me, I'm okay, everything. And there's no... So I fear God. Sure, I give him the reverence, but I tell you, sometimes it's good to be afraid of God. In Singapore language, don't play with God. You see, the human heart is, I can take advantage of God. I can do whatever I want. That's why Paul says in Romans 6, you know, knowing that we are under grace, should we sin? Why? Because the people knew, I'm under grace now, I can sin. I can still ask God for forgiveness. I can get away with it. You see, so the human heart always looking for what? What is the human heart always looking for? Singaporeans very good at it. They're always looking for? Loophole. You're right. Loopholes. They're always looking for a way out, a way to take advantage, a way. And the smarter we are, the more intelligence we have, the worse we get, because we have become cunning. We're always looking for a loophole, right? So that's the state of our heart. And that's why, if you have not dealt with it, it's going to keep coming back again. And that's why I'm going to encourage you next year, March camp. You know what's the theme? You know what's the theme? It's a very powerful theme. Perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. Fear of the Lord. You really, I think that's something that everybody, and I'm also looking forward to what passes. It's a big challenge. I think it's something that everybody needs. Perfecting. Have I perfected holiness? I think that we have. And it's something I need to learn too. We all need to learn how to have holiness. Why? Because we have a holy God. And that's why. That's why, I mean, for many of us, sometimes we underestimate. How wicked the heart can be. How perverse the heart can be. And so for this person, most probably, he allowed his heart. I mean, look at Solomon, for that matter. I mean, if there's one person who will make wise decision, who would it be? It would be Solomon, isn't it? I mean, he had all the wisdom in the world. I mean, these are the words from him, right? Fear God. How many times have he mentioned fear God, fear God, fear God? But did he do it? No. But it's a very sobering reminder that it can also happen to us, because we have a lot of knowledge. We have wisdom from Pastor, you know, through Pastor, from the Lord. We have gained a lot of knowledge. A lot of knowledge that we have, I don't think a lot of Christians out there have. I can tell you that. Not many people understand things the way Bethany understands. And yet, with all this knowledge, do we really, really apply? Do we make wise choices? And you realize that along the way, we still make very foolish choices. Time and judgment. So this guy, place of holiness, time and judgment, he made a wrong decision when he died. Time for him to die. You know what? He dies a futile death. Nobody remembers him. Nobody cares. Why? Because he was wicked. It's very sad when a person dies. How would you like to die? How would you like to die? And the only thing that people will remember you for, I mean, you listen to all the memorial service, is the good that people have done. The love that is shown. Right? If you are a mother, then be a good mother. Right? If you are, you know, wherever you work, I still remember Olivia, Nathaniel, Grandpa, Leslie, Auntie Leslie's father. Okay? He's a rugby player. Huge man. Wow. But he has a very soft heart. Every time camp, he will make bandung for everybody. You know the bandung? So he will come. Of course, and then you'll make for everybody mandong. Very nice. I love it. And he's very, very gentle. He will talk to you and he will just do his own small part for church. He will come. And we always known him as a very nice gentleman. Right? Like he worked for SETS last time. SIA SETS, I think. Or SIA, one of them. Okay? I still remember when he passed on. Day before he passed on, he saw all his family were there, and he said goodbye to all of them. And he was very, very confident about, you know, being with the Lord. And he passed on. And during his wake, it was amazing. The number of people he helped at his working place, one after another. I mean, we didn't know this part about his story. One after another. He was there for me. He was like a father to me. He was like a friend. I was so amazed by how many people he helped. He was like a fatherly figure to a lot of the younger generations. Wow. I was very encouraged by his example. You know, people remember. Although he didn't have a, you know, so-called big role in Bethany, he made such a big role. People remember. I never forgot. Wow. People remember. Right? So it doesn't mean that you just have to serve in church. You can serve the Lord wherever you are. Right? How would you like to die? Would you like to die a futile death? Or would you like to die a death where people remember your faith? People remember the fear that you had from the Lord. Can you see that? Yet, I surely know that it will be well with those who fear God, who fear before Him. And I think this is something that we can be very certain about fearing the Lord. Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 14, it talks about, so that's the first mention of fearing the Lord. Right? Verse 14, I know that whatever God does, it shall be forever. Nothing can be added to it. Nothing can be taken from it. God does it that man should fear before Him. What does it mean? It means that there are some things that when God decides, He has really decided. It's what we call the overall timeline of God. God has an overall timeline. When we are born, when we die, there's a timeline. There's a timeline for when Christ will come, when Judgment Day is. You can't change it. You know what? We cannot change it. It's there. Will there be a judgment one day? Yes. Will we have to account for our life one day? Yes. Because of that, He is sovereign, we should fear His Lord. Right? Another one is chapter 5 and in verse 7. Fearing God as we come into His house. 5 verse 7, you know. It says, fear God. 5 verse 7. For in a multitude of dreams and many words, there's also vanity. Right? So when you come into the Lord's house, be careful what you say. Don't make promises you cannot keep. Don't vow before God and then you can't keep it. Right? Don't let your mouth cause you your flesh to sin. And one of the ways you show the fear of the Lord is you're careful what you say. Right? Walk prudently when you go into the house of the Lord. Draw near to hear rather than to give the sacrifices of food. Okay? Fear God. And then be careful what you say. Right? 7 verse 18. 7 verse 18. It is good that you grasp this, that also not remove your hand from the other, for he who fears God will escape them. Of course, these are the paradoxes of life. Right? We studied this. That ultimately, at the end of the day, better to fear God. Then we can escape. Perhaps God will be merciful and then we will escape these things. You never know, right? I mean, anybody can die at any time. Baby, child, teenager, adult, old person. Anytime anybody can. I've gone for funerals for every single age. It can happen anytime. It can happen to the best of us. It doesn't matter when the time comes. Better to fear the Lord, right? And then we learn to fear the Lord. I tell you one of the ways I learned to be, how do I fear the Lord, okay? Before Him. I'm conscious of Him. You want to learn to fear the Lord, you be conscious of Him. Before Him. When is before Him? Now? 1 hour later? 2 hours later? 6 hours later? Every day, every moment. Conscious of Him. How to fear Him? You be conscious of Him. You build that consciousness of Him. You cultivate to such an extent. You know He's there. Right? That's why I like Elijah in many ways. Whom I serve. Before Him, right? The living God, before Him, He's conscious of the Lord. Relating to the Lord by fearing Him, giving that due deference, honor, and it will be well with you. The Lord's blessing in your life, you will be blessed in all that you do. You have peace and joy. You have all that you need. You have good friends to stand by you. And this was what God has promised earlier. Deuteronomy 6. To observe, to fear the Lord, to love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. and then the Lord will bless. Right? Someone. We learn to fear the Lord. We learn to be righteous. We walk righteously. We have deep roots. And the Lord will bless. I was just looking at a documentary about how, you know, they're trying to fight against this idea of the desert encroaching into farmland. Okay, so in China, the desert is alive. It is moving. It's becoming, taking land, farmland, and becoming desert because of the wind, the global warming. So this guy came up with a very, very good idea of how to take back the land from the desert. Okay, and it's three things. Willow plant, rabbit, and one more thing. Alamak, I didn't write down the... one more thing. To make it work. Soil. Yeah, I think the sand. Yeah. So the willow plant has very deep roots. It goes all the way down. Take water very deep. So it, then it becomes shade for, yeah, soil. Okay, the third one is soil. Then it will let go of this certain kind of rabbit that can survive in heat. Okay? And this rabbit, the feces goes into the ground. When the feces and mixed with the soil, it becomes fertile. It changes sand into fertile soil. Okay? So the soil will help bring nutrient to the willow plant. So it's a cycle. Oh, very, very smart fellow. So the whole desert, this area got a lot of rabbits, a lot of willow plant, and the farming has become so much better. Farmlands, so they have been gaining back. Very interesting. But the willow plant, the roots can go very, very, very deep. Very interesting concept. And he has been winning awards. Right? So when we fear the Lord, then the Lord will bless. Okay. Let's stop. Okay, any questions? Anything you want to know? What do you think?
I have a question.
Yeah. See, y'all got a question, but y'all don't want to ask. I got to ask you, then you ask the question.
But you move on already.
No, just ask.
No, it's very small. Yeah, no, because talking about the paradox, right, about how some of the wicked prolonged lives, and some of them.
Yeah.
But those that have prolonged lives, is it because of their weakness and what they do that prolongs their life? Or is it just like,
you know, it's like an anomaly, like it's just one of those
just,
things.
It's just by chance.
Okay. It's not by chance, but it's just along the way God allows them to live longer. That's the reason. And sometimes believers struggle with. But there's a reason behind all these things. Sometimes it's God teaching the righteous to learn to wait upon the Lord. So in all the things that he does, there's a plan. But ultimately, the wicked will still have to face the music. Right. Is it Psalm 70? Hold on, huh? Yeah, so at the end of the day, the wicked still has to face the music, whatever it is. What's that verse from? Though my flesh and my heart fails, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. What psalm is that? Can y'all check? 73, yeah, okay. Yeah, I was at Psalm 72. Ah, one more Psalm. Yeah, Psalm 73, right? So this was one of the Psalms where we see the wicked prospering and having a prolonged life. Truly God is good to such as pure in heart, but as for me, my feet had almost stumbled, my steps had nearly slipped. And I was envious of the boastful, I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no pangs in their death. You see? So they had a good life. Throughout, even their death seemed like, wow, they didn't suffer very much. But their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men. They are not plagued like other men. Therefore, pride serves as their necklace. Violence cover them like a garment. So they use violence to become rich. Okay? So you have all the mafias. You have, all these people using violence. Their eyes bulge with abundance. Wow. They're so fat. The eyes also bulging out. Like goldfish. Right? Yeah. You must appreciate the image. Their eyes bulge with abundance. They have more than heart could wish. They scoff and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They speak their mouth against the heavens so they can curse God. Their tongue walks through the earth. Therefore, his people return here, waters of a full cup of and drained by them. How does God know? Is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who are always at ease. They increase in riches. Surely I have cleansed my heart in vain. See the struggle? So they seem to be doing well. They seem to be having a good life. What, they eat so much? Every day, combat pow. Every day, only. They can go to Strangula. You know, in Strangula, last time I went, every day he eats in the Chinese restaurant. Every day he will eat the same thing. Every day he eats in the Shangri-La Hotel. Amazing. Right? And then I have cleansed my and washed my hands in innocence. All day long I have been plagued, chastened every morning. So this guy, seeks the Lord, he cleanses, he really struggles with his sins. If I said, I will speak thus, behold, I would have been untrue to the generation of your children. When I thought how to understand it, it was too painful for me. Wow, I really found it very hard. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood their end. Every time you come to the Lord's house, you day, everybody has to face the Lord. Nobody can escape. You may have a good life now, but that is not true representation of what you're going to face. You're going to face judgment. Okay? For indeed, those until I went, surely you set them in slippery places. You cast them down to destruction. Oh, how they are brought to desolation as in a moment. They are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream when one awake, so Lord, when you awake, you shall despise them. Wow. So at the end of the day, God is still going to bring them down. God is going to bring about death, desolation, suffering, whatever. Okay. Thus my heart was grieved, I was vexed in my mind, I was so foolish, ignorant, I was like a beast before you. Nevertheless, I am continuing with you. You hold me by my right hand, you guide me with your counsel, afterwards receive me to glory. You know, what better way to live your life than to be guided by God, right? To follow his ways. And then one day we will be received to heaven. Live your life well, and you have done well in your life for the Lord, and then one day we will go to heaven, to be with him forever. Or else the others will go through condemnation, right? Whom have I in heaven but you? There is none upon earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Those who are far from you shall perish. You have destroyed all those who desert you for harlotry. But it's good for me to draw near to God. What is the best thing to do in life? It's to draw near to God. To draw near to Him. Whatever we may go through in life. You know, learn to draw near to Him. Put your trust in Him that I may declare all your words. Okay? Okay? So that's how I see it. That's how we should see it when it comes to the wicked. And there will be some who will have a good life. Some will continue to have a good life. But that's fine. To us, that's not our focus. Right? Our hearts are not focused on the things of the world. So, again, I think the challenge is don't compare. Don't compare yourself with others. Best thing to do in life is not to compare, but to focus on what's most important. That is to fear the Lord. And let Him bless. It will be well with you. In this life and the next. I mean, even if some of us along the way may have premature death or whatever, but you know what? It doesn't matter. In fact, you know, I'm ready. The Lord calls me home. I'm ready. Right? I've done what I want to do for the Lord. Of course, I don't think I'll die soon. God willing. Right? But anytime the Lord calls me home, I think, you know, I'm ready to go. But that is something that no matter what is going to be still a challenge. Right? The war, remember? The war with death will still be there. So there's a verse that talks about the war with death. Before this. Okay, let's go back to Ecclesiastes. So in chapter 8, we read verse 8, there is no release from that war, and that war is with reference to the day of death. Okay, so we all will still grapple with this. It's a puzzle that we all will have, no matter what, right? How many people have you seen? Quite a lot, right? And no matter what, even though Christian, they all still struggle. No matter what. There's nobody that, okay, death come every day, alamak, one more day. I don't think you've seen a person. You will all struggle. Because, why? Because in within our hearts, the will to live is very, very strong. But when you give up on that will, when people give up, then they will slowly, quickly die. Does that answer your question? Okay. Any other questions? Audrey? Okay. Anything else? Anyone? Come in. Okay. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for the sobering reality. Principle of time and judgment. Sometimes when people make bad choices, where they can come from a place of holiness to wickedness, and they die a futile life. And we can see that as a very sobering reality, that the choices we make now will affect our future, and there will be consequences, or they can be blessings. We pray, dear Lord, that you will help us to choose wisely. Help us, Lord, to fear you above all things and to be very conscious of you in the way we live and to be wise in all our choices. We pray, dear Lord, that you will cultivate this fear of you even more. Increase our fear of you. And we pray, dear Father, that we can express it in the way we live our life each day and every day. And we pray that you will bless us, that it will be well with us. Blessings.